Welcome to the Ask Sensei Tony podcast, where Sensei will address your questions about life from a cosmic perspective. Please subscribe and ask a question at AskSenseiTony.com to find out more about studying with Sensei privately, becoming a part of our spiritual community, and training to become a mindful minister of oneness in our seminary. We hope you enjoy this episode and find it helpful.
Hi, this is Ask Sensei Tony, and today's question comes from David, and he asks, what do we do with the anxiety of the unknown? Thank you, David. So, as you know, I like to start with defining terms. So let's start with defining what anxiety is. So anxiety is essentially a reaction to thoughts that we're having that essentially are, there's some sort of danger. They're sort of telling us that there's something to be afraid of. And, you know, we have these, you know, from a cosmic perspective, if we look at how the human being has evolved, we've evolved from creatures that survived by basically being very anxious. An analogy or comparison to this might be the study of equine or horses. And I myself did a study of that when I was in graduate school. And, you know, horses have been around for a long time. We have a really great fossil record that shows their evolution. And they don't have sharp fangs and they don't have claws. And so their way of surviving was to be very anxious. And, of course, they could run. And they can certainly kick and bite, as anyone knows that's been around horses. But compared to a lion or a bear, you know, there's very minimal protection. So being anxious and being very skittish and running was the way they survived all these years. And humans are very similar. You know, we don't have fangs. We don't have claws, and we're relatively weak, and compared to, like, you know, a bear, for example. So we had to develop a way to survive. And of course, you know, we conquered and became the head of the list. And we did this by being very anxious. And I would say that, you know, all of us living today are the descendants of ancestors who were pretty anxious people. And this anxiety did a number of things for them. One, it made them ready to fight or to flee or in some occasions freeze. And that system is still with us to this day. So whenever we, you know, have thought, you know, as you know, the root of mindfulness or the foundation of mindfulness might be the idea that thoughts create feelings, feelings create actions, actions create consequences. And so it's our beliefs and thoughts that create this interdependent cycle. And so when I feel anxious, that's just the result of my system reacting to it, my nervous system, my autonomic nervous system. And so when that happens, it's just there to help me to survive. And so that's anxiety. And anxiety is a very important and very clear thing, I think, from a mindful perspective, is to understand that anxiety is not my state of being. It's an experience that I have on occasion. And, you know, if I'm having severe anxiety, it might be something I'm having on a regular basis, and it might feel that it's my steady state. But the reality is it's not. And it's an experience I'm having that's triggered by thoughts, whether they be unconscious or conscious. So that's anxiety. So your question, David, is, you know, then related to the idea of the unknown. So let's define the unknown. And I would say that next to actually knowing, you know, like really having a sense of what it is we're afraid of, I think the unknown is probably an even bigger trigger for anxiety. What is the unknown? Well, it's the opposite of the known. The known is something that I can actually perceive and I can make contact with in some sense, and maybe I can even measure in some sense. The known is, I think, another name for reality, at least reality in the way that I ordinarily experience it. So the known is something that we all want. You know, there's the saying, knowledge is power. And we want to know what's going to happen. And so we want to know the outcome of things. But that's not always true. You know, if someone had a magic crystal ball and they could tell you exactly when and how you're going to die, that probably wouldn't relieve anxiety. Now, maybe if they told you you're going to be 100 and you'll die in your sleep, that might. But if it wasn't like that, then you might not really want to know what that would be, because it might be very unpleasant. So knowing is not always as helpful as we might think it is. Because if we know something for certain, or we have a sense of certainty around it, that can be equally unpleasant. So what is the unknown? The unknown means that I don't know what's going to happen, and I am not able to ascertain that. Now, in our practice, we have this practice we call not knowing. And not knowing is very different from the unknown, in that not knowing is a way of addressing the unknown. And it's actually a way of addressing the known. So the way of not knowing means that I intentionally, A, I want to know, and B, I recognize that I don't know. And I recognize that even in what I know may be very limited. In other words, where I may not be able to see the big picture of things. And that can be something that helps us to maybe even be more realistic. Because the truth is, even when we think we know, the fact is that unless we're omniscient, we really don't know everything. And even the perception we have of what's happening is inaccurate and incomplete. So the way of not knowing, or the practice of not knowing, is to mindfully enter into our awareness with the willingness to be honest that I don't know everything. And I want to know, but I don't know everything. And even when I ascertain to the best of my ability what the situation is, I may be missing things. So not knowing, or the practice of not knowing, is a way to remove the anxiety from the unknown. And I start to realize that the unknown, when I come at it from a place of intentional not knowing, actually can be much more a much more peaceful place than this constant sort of rabid search for the known. Because I think everybody's had the experience of, you know, going through some anxiety about a situation and then thinking they know what the answer is and maybe being relieved by having that knowledge. And then something turns out on its head. You know, I think of an example where a person I was working with was very concerned about a health issue they were having, and the doctor was able to tell them that the situation was resolved. They never had long had to worry. Everything was fine. And 2 days later, another event occurred, and essentially the doctor said, well, everything looked fine, but we didn't see everything. We didn't see the whole thing. You know, and this has happened famously with folks who, you know, have some sort of heart disease, they'll get a stress test, they'll clear the stress test, and then, you know, a couple days later drop dead of a heart attack. So there are limits to our knowledge, and the unknown is always going to be present. But if we intentionally go into the unknown, practicing not knowing, that's a way to turn that on its head. And it becomes kind of a sacred agnosticism where, you know, you want to know, you want to understand, but you're also humble enough to recognize that you don't know everything. And that even the answers that you know, you may currently have might not be the whole picture. And I find that for myself anyway, when I come across the unknown, I'm like everybody else. It triggers anxiety in me, and I start to, you know, imagine what the unknown might bring. And usually, if you notice, we tend to think of the negative. In other words, we start to think whatever the unknown is, we start to, you know, we don't think of positive outcomes. We're always thinking of negative outcomes. Now, part of that is just the way we're designed, you know, the way we've been shaped and created by evolution. Because our brain has been trained to filter out things that are not of a certain kind. And it's a reticular activating aspect of the brain. And essentially, it basically sort of filters out everything that is not, you know, like dangerous or novel, new. So we've kind of evolved that way. And there are a lot of evolutionary psychologists that also believe that we've evolved to never be satisfied or constantly sort of questioning things, because that has aided our species in its evolution. Now, that being said, we don't have to live out of that. We don't have to be dictated by that demand of that conditioning. And by awakening to the cosmic perspective, understanding the big picture, we can begin to practice intentionally the way of not knowing. And that, as I said, is a sort of a sacred agnosticism where I can enter into the situation and kind of turn it on its head. Now, when I get hooked with something that I'm concerned about in the future, and I, like everyone else, have a tendency to think of the negatives that might come, our first conditioned ego sort of way of dealing with that is to try to find a way to defend ourselves and protect ourselves. So that's our evolutionary history kicking in. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's helped us get to where we are. So we don't want to detract from that or put that down, because that just kind of reinforces that approach. But what we want to do is say, okay, what can I do to look at this situation more clearly? So, of course, what I advocate is that we go through the four questions of mindfulness that you find in the four direction system of mindfulness, which you can find in my book, Free Your Mind, or in my new work, The Three Principles of Oneness. So what we do in that is we mindfully take apart the thoughts that are being projected onto the unknown. And by doing that, we are able to clarify what it is that is actually occurring. So without going into a great deal of detail around this, and like I say, if you read my works on this and you start to practice, you'll start to understand this much more clearly. But essentially, I look at the situation that triggered my concern about the unknown. And then I look at the feelings and emotions that have arisen, both physically and mentally. And then I look at the thoughts that were creating the strongest emotions or feelings. And then I take that thought, that strongest thought that created that strongest feeling, and I unpack it using the four questions of mindfulness, which essentially is number one, asking what is not clear about that thought. You know, what is it about that thought that is not known? That's another way that turns it on its head, so that I only want to focus on what I do know. And I only want to look at the things I know, because the things I don't know and the unknown things are of no use to me, because I can't track that. And I can, however, work with the known. Now, that doesn't mean that the known will stay that way, but it's a much more rational and sane place for me to start. And then once I do the first question, I can move to the second question, and I can contrast and say, okay, here was the original thought that was triggering all this anxiety about the unknown. Here's the clearer thinking that helps to relieve some of that anxiety. So where does this conditioning come from? And that's where we go through the basic mindfulness models around perfectionism, around self-esteem, etc. And by doing that, we develop an insight and an ease about the unknown. And then we also find that we can employ action. We can engage the situation mindfully. So, you know, by doing that with the unknown, like I said, paradoxically, we start to see that the unknown is useful to us in that it clarifies the known. So the unknown is useful to us in that it clarifies the known. And as I've said many times, many places, you know, reality, the known is always our best friend, even when it's unpleasant, because at least we know what it is and we can take action on it. The unknown is simply that. It is the unknown. It's almost like a non-equation. We have this conditioned evolutionary reaction where we want to fill in that known. So like, let's say if you think of it like a mathematical equation, you have the known plus the unknown, okay, equals reality. But the fact of the matter is that the unknown can't be quantified because it's not known. So it becomes a useless part of the equation. And what's better for me to do is focus on the known and what action I can take. That formula then is that the insight on the known plus action equals realization. So when you think about that way as a formula, then that actually is something that not only frees my mind and is a source of liberation, but it allows me to do something about what's happening, or choose to not do something, but it's coming from a place of empowerment, not feeling weak. And so that's the way to practice with the unknown. You practice with the unknown by coming from the humble, honest place of not knowing, the way of not knowing. And then we can bear witness to what we do know. And then we can act on that. One of my main mentors was the late Bernie Glassman, the famous Zen teacher. And he put this together as the three tenets. And the three tenets being not knowing, bearing witness, and then right action, or the action that's required to heal or to bring about oneness. And so, you know, that's a very basic Buddhist teaching, and that's the way for us to engage the unknown. So the unknown is something that you just stop dealing with. In other words, you just stop spending a lot of time there because it's not helpful and it's not useful, and there's no way that it can be part of a meaningful equation rationally. So the next time that you come up against a thought that is really about the unknown, whether it's something in the past or something in the future, I advocate that you practice the way of not knowing, you bear witness to it using the four questions of mindfulness, And that will naturally lead you to the right action that you need to take, either assertive or perhaps passive. So I hope that's helpful, David. Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask Sensei Tony. Please visit our website at AskSenseiTony.com, check out Sensei's books and videos, and become a part of the Dragonfly spiritual lifestyle.